Amen. Today I want to talk to you about good news. I just want to take a moment, though, and welcome home our Jamaica team. They're all back safe, and I know that the tropical storm down there, of course, brought us some winds and a few rains, but we're just glad to have that team home with us and can't wait for them to share what the Lord did through their ministry there. But today I want to share with you some good news. How many need good news? Yeah, how many have ever been asked that question? You want to hear the good news or the bad news first? You ever asked that question? You know what I'm talking about. And we're never sure really which one we want to hear first, because we really don't know which is most important, or we don't know which one will affect our lives the most. But this morning, I have to tell you some bad news first, because then after you hear the bad news, you'll know the importance of the good news. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just help us today, Lord, as we walk through your word, as we just get our hearts ready to hear, Lord, your gospel, your good news for our lives. Lord, I pray that our hearts will be ready and open to receive everything you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen to what the Bible says in Romans 3:23. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Unfortunately, church, that is some bad news. Every one of you are sinners. Every one of you have messed up. There is not one of us in this place that has not sinned. And unfortunately, that saddens the heart of God, and that's bad news. In John 3, in verses 19 and 20, and this is following the story of Nicodemus, and you're familiar with John 3:16, but these are the following verses in 19 and 20. It says, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed." How did all this happen? Why would people feel this way? Why would people feel like my deeds are being exposed and I don't like it? Well, I want you to watch a video that will tell us how we got in this condition.
The serpent, snake, was the savviest of all of the creatures in the Creator's perfect planet. The reptile surveyed the scene with keen snake eyes. Streetwise, armed with an arsenal of plausible lies, he slithered up to Eve, the woman, from her blind side, preserving the element of surprise. And he said, "Hello, child. How was your day? I overheard your conversation. I just had one simple question. Exactly what did the Creator say? That thing about the tree, the evil and the good, how do you know that you understood? Did he really say what you think you heard? Maybe your mind twisted up the words. Did he say, 'Hands off all the plants, don't look, don't touch, don't taste'? What a waste that would be." Eve, the woman, pointed out the tree with the taboo, the tree of the knowing the good and evil too. She told the snake that God had made it drop dead clear that everything else was free, every other tree. But if they took one tiny taste of the fruit of this particular one, they would absolutely, positively crash and burn. Said the snake, faking genuine concern. "The deity's afraid of what you're gonna learn. With just one bite, you'll be just like him. Eyes wide open, knowing the heights of what humans can do, knowing the depths, the despicable too, God would have no tactical advantage over you. You and your man could have the run of the place, total control over the food you eat, the life you live, the path you choose. With just one small bite, you could gain the whole green world. And that means that God of yours would lose. Woman Eve walked closer and closer to the tree. She sniffed and felt fruit against her cheek. Totally wise, with open eyes, she said, "What's wrong with that? Maybe my man and I were born for this. Born to know, born to control, born to rule." She swallowed hard, and it was done. She gave some to her covenant partner, Adam. He opened his mouth and gobbled it down, and the universe was silent. It was the cool part of the day, and God was walking through the land he made, his ecosystem so magnificently put together, about to erode, about to implode before his sad and timeless eyes. He took one long last look and kiss the innocents goodbye. Adam, where you hiding, son? Eve, girl, what have you done? Ground, it's broken now, under a curse, from bad to worse. Now your eyes are wise and clear. Now you know shame, now you know fear. Now you know you're naked, now you run for cover. Well, here's what's gonna happen. Life will be shorter, pain will be greater, work be harder, grinding it out by the sweat on your brow, the blood on your hands. Eve and Adam, even the bond you have will now be strained, slightly off, distorted, reframed. And as for you, reptile snake, Adam will crush your head, you will strike and bite his heel, you will feel the weight of the consequences of what you've done for eons. He looked them in the eye with a sigh. "It's broken now," he said. And the serpent, he just smiled.
Genesis 3 gives us the bad news. And Satan thought he had won. He thought it's over now. They're destroyed. The bad news is I've broken them, relationships. I've destroyed the relationship with God. I've destroyed their own relationship. Their deeds are now exposed. And because of Adam and Eve's sin, because of them, everyone is born into sin now. Romans 5:12 says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. But because there is bad news, there is good news. Paul tells the Corinthian church, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Because what Jesus did at the cross for you and for I, his dying, but his rising again to life, he came so that we might have life. Ephesians 2 is written to that church, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Being saved, you need to understand that is not a church thing. It's not a Pentecostal thing. It's not a denominational thing. It is not a term that we have made up. It is a term that we get from the Word of God. It is the good news that you can be saved. Acts 4 says salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The good news is that salvation is of the Lord. But there's too many people who are trying to save themselves, trying to earn it, trying to be good enough. But it's not about us, it's about God. Two of the most powerful words in Scripture are these, but God. Psalm 49 says, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Think about it. Selah. Mark records this for us, who can forgive sins but God alone? Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians again, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much. It doesn't say, but you. But if you will do this, if you, it says, but God. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they sinned. They lost their innocence. They realized they're naked. They try to cover themselves with fig leaves. But God comes along and he sheds the blood of an innocent animal and clothes them and covers them to illustrate it will be God who is your covering. And he would forgive them of their sin. But so many today are still trying to cover themselves. But you can't do it. Your righteousness, the best thing that you could ever do, would be like filthy rags before God. Have you tried to put on your own fig leaves? Maybe it was getting baptized. Maybe a confirmation somewhere. Maybe church attendance or offerings or good works or just trying to keep the Ten Commandments. Or maybe mommy told me I was saved. Or I'm just a good person. Salvation is from the Lord. You cannot save yourself. So this is the good news you need to hear. Jesus saves. But you have to understand that you need a Savior. Because of our sinful condition, we need a Savior. Ephesians 2, 1 to 3 says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and the inclinations of our sinful nature. But our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everybody else. But God wanted to save us. Listen to verse 4. It says, but God, so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much. It's hard for us to grasp the depth of the love of God. It's easy to understand how to love somebody who's lovable or loving or lovely. But God loved us while we were still sinners, while we were still in our sin. There's an old song we used to sing in the church written by a Bliss, and it's called, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." But he takes a scripture and he incorporates it into that song. Yes, oh, how I love Jesus, but because he first loved me. Church, there's so many times it's my love, it's what I'm doing. No, it's his love. He first loved. I know you came this morning because you wanted to hear something profound. Well, here it is. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's good news, church. But why in the world would God love us? Because he does not want you to experience eternal separation from him. As we watch that video, you can see the separation, the creepiness of it, not being with God. God does not want you to experience that forever. So he came and he offers us mercy. All of us need mercy because even if you committed one sin in your life, just one, God cannot allow you into heaven. Because he is holy without someone to atone for you. In reality, we're all very aware of how horrific of sinners we really are. We know what we've done. And because of that, there are some, though, that don't believe they can be saved because of everything they've done. But how does God save us? Listen to verse 5 of Ephesians 2, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you've been saved. Grace. God's riches or God's redemption at Christ's expense. He was the atonement. We're not only saved from something, but we're saved to something. Not only are we saved from sin and forgiven of our sins, but now we have become the recipients of Christ's righteousness. We are clothed with Christ. We are covered. He has imputed his righteousness to us. And God looks at the redeemed, at the saved, the born-again Christian. He doesn't just see a forgiven Christian. He sees a justified one. Just as if I never sinned. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." A last thought for this morning. So where does the good news leave us? Listen to verse 6. "For he raised us from the dead along with Christ, and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus." When you are saved, when you accept his salvation, his good news, when you find yourself in that good news, accepting him and what he did for you, you are now seated with God. It doesn't mean you won't have difficult days and hard circumstances in your life, but God is now part of your life, and that is the good news. Sometimes you get down in the dumps, but with God in your life, you really are in the heavenlies. You may think it's pretty low at times, and Satan may appear to have you by the throat, but God has you somewhere else. You need to remember that you are seated with him. Listen to what Joseph, the little boy with the coat of many colors, who went through so many tragedies in his life. Listen to what he says in Genesis 50, verse 20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. David, the little shepherd boy, anointed as a little boy to be a king, watching sheep and under the leadership of another king. And this king began to chase him, was after his life. In 1 Samuel 23, it tells us David now stayed in the strongholds of the wilderness and in the hill country of Ziph. Saul hunted him day after day, but God didn't let Saul find him. Israel had some tough days. Armies were coming against them. It seems that they were going to be defeated. But in 2 Chronicles, in chapter 20, in verse 15, listen, he said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. You may feel like yourself, you're going through tough days, but you need to remember the good news. The psalmist said, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Paul writes to the church, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. But God, who is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That's good news. God is bigger than all of our mistakes. He came to save us. Watch this brief video. God has the good news. We're aware of the bad news. But if you really understood the good news, He's waiting. He's done everything He can for you. Will you receive Him? Will you accept the good news? Would you bow your heads? In this room today, maybe it's the first time you've heard the gospel, or maybe you've never quite understood it. Why Jesus would go to a cross and die for us. The good news is he wanted to restore the relationship. Maybe you've gone to church and attended so many times, but you've never, ever made that decision. You thought you've been trying to do it on your own, and you can't. That's why you keep striving. Your striving's not enough. Maybe you knew the Lord at some point, but you let the circumstances of life overwhelm you. You forgot that God seated you with Him. And today, instead of letting the enemy rule, you want the Lord to rule. But you have to make that decision. Just like Eve made a decision. It's hard for us to understand, but she had freedom. And so did Adam. And both of them chose in their freedom to choose sin, disobedience. But God, in His great mercy, came to offer life again for anyone who would receive it. Anyone who would partake of what He did for us.